1-800-733-5900. That's 1-800-733-5900.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? That it would turn at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take. You would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Reading.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are 5 product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up? Just like that.
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo grounds. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish, and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen, and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer, but find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Good morning. And welcome again. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I want to welcome you to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm still saying Happy New Year to everyone, so still Happy New Year. I want to say thanks to everyone who's listening throughout the world over WOLDCnews.com, LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com, on WOL AM, 1450 AM, and over the FM, 95.9 FM, over HD2. We have a really great program for you today. Our guest is Attorney Donald Okonkwo. Pronounce your name.
Daniel Okonkwo.
Daniel Okonkwo of the D.C. Lawyers for Youth. He is going to talk to us about the juvenile justice system in Washington, D.C., and the organization that he is executive director of and does a lot to help improve the juvenile justice system right here in Washington, D.C. Before we get started, though, I just have to also say this program is brought to you by my law office, Wills and Trust LLC, where I prepare wills, trust, power of attorneys, advanced medical directives, and assist people in administering estates. So if you or someone you know needs a will, wants to know about a trust, or assistance in administering an estate, give me a call at 240-638-2828. Law is powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. What it impacts everything that you do. What you don't know can hurt you, and what you do empowers you. So each week, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell brings you professionals who know the law and other areas of other professionals to empower you. Our programs are archived at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, so you can always go there. My son's been working on the website, so the audio is up, and my producer, Kiana Faircloth, is posting and has already posted like a picture of Daniel, a link to D.C. Lawyers for Youth, and information about where you can go and get information about the subject matter today and each day. So, for example, last week we had Delegate Angela Angel on from the Maryland General Assembly. And she talked about her efforts to help women who are mainly women, not only women, but who are suffering from harassment, abuse, helping children who are having problems with that. But she also talked about what she's doing for veterans. So go there and you can find a link to her website as well. Today I want to talk to Daniel about what happens to children when they get arrested. You know, what happens there? That's a critical area that we all should be concerned about, because a lot of kids are getting into the justice system. Let me tell you a little about Daniel. He's a graduate of Yale University and Georgetown Law School. We met recently in Annapolis, where he and my son, who went to college with him, were getting sworn in as members of the Maryland Bar. So I want to welcome you, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I was really excited to hear what you're doing. How did you start doing this? And what is it? What is this?
Sure, absolutely. And again, thank you for having me. This is an important topic, one I think that is timely as well. And I think that, you know, I'm happy to kind of give your viewers a glimpse into an area of the law that a lot of people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't see it because, rightly so, most of the juvenile justice system is confidential. We want to protect kids mm-hmm. against the stigma of being court involved. We want to give them a chance when their life has gotten off track to get back on track and get mm-hmm. back to being productive citizens without kind of the public scrutiny that mm-hmm. we give adults in the criminal justice system. DC Lawyers for Youth is a juvenile justice and policy organization. We work mm-hmm. on putting in place policies in Washington, D.C. that support young people who are court involved, with the goal of getting them out of the system better off than mm-hmm. when they come in. The kind of quick and easy way we talk about our work is that we want D.C. to have the smallest juvenile justice system and the best juvenile justice system.
Okay.
And the way we unpack that, the smallest means that the system is only used for those young people for whom it's appropriate. So we aren't widening the net and bringing young people into court involvement.
I think that's a concern. Yeah, a lot of people seem to feel, especially young black men, are getting caught up and arrested for what used to be minor, juvenile, little fighting that wasn't dangerous. Normally it's settled, and it's just not. In fact, one mother told me that she checked on, and please, if you're out here listening and you have children in the school system, go to school and find out what's in your child's records. One mother told me recently that she went to check on her kid for something else, and something said look in the record, and found out that he and some boys, young boys, and he was maybe, 12, 11 years old, they actually had said that he had stolen stuff because he and the boys had picked up some candy on the desk of a teacher. But it was written up as if he was a thief.
And that happens very often. And
that is awful.
And that's, I think, one of the... That's why we say we want the system to be small. We don't want to bring in young people who don't belong there. And I would add to that, too, find out what's in your children's records, but also pay attention to the disciplinary policy at the school where your children are.
How do you find that out?
Well, every school should have a parent handbook or a manual that
spells
out what the rights and responsibilities are of students, parents, and the administration at that school.
So is everybody listening to that? If your child is out of school, go to the school and get their written handbook, okay?
Sometimes it'll be online, and charter schools are each their own educational agency, so they'll have a standalone policy. If your child is in D.C. public school, you can go to the D.C. public school, DCPS website has the school disciplinary policy on there.
Okay, can you, that's another thing, Daniel, can you send us the link to that? Because I think that's important. My children are grown, but I think it's important for people to know these things. So if you have children in school, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, anybody, y'all need to know this stuff. So you're going to give us the link for the D.C. public school.
That's correct.
DCPS. Can you give us the link directly to where that handbook would be on discipline?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, so...
Minimize your clicks.
Yeah, please, because, sometimes this stuff is a little difficult for people to maneuver. And if you are not... If a lot of my audience are not online, but your children are, okay? So you can have your children or your grandchildren, your niece or your nephew, take you there. Number one, they need to know it themselves. But number two, once they go there, you can have them go there, and if it's not too much, they can print it out for you, I would assume, so that you will know what it is.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So go on, please.
So that's what we talk about, the smallest system, but we also want the best system. And what that means is that the juvenile justice system has in place those services for young people, those supports for them, so that they only touch the system one time. We don't want young people going through the juvenile justice system, coming out on the other end, and not getting what they needed to kind of put their lives back on track.
Okay.
And so what that looks like practically, it means that we're not using youth jails as a method of correction and deterrence. Research shows that is just not, that just
that
doesn't
work.
It doesn't work. Because young people are different than adults. Their brains develop different. They process risk and reward different. And seeing their classmate punished doesn't have the deterrent effect that we used to think that it did.
Really?
If you have children,
yeah.
I have children, I think if you're a parent or a grandparent, that you can tell your teenager something and they will nod at you and smile and go back and do the same thing 10 minutes later.
They do.
and that's not because they're not listening or they don't want to do what you're asking them. It's just the way that our brains naturally develop. And so we look at we want the District of Columbia and certainly jurisdictions across the country to take what we term a public health approach to dealing with youth crime or young people acting out. And what that means is taking into account young people's brain development and what they need in devising a system, devising a juvenile justice system. So that means doing away with youth jails and putting young people closer to home where they can get services and supports in their community so that their lives aren't disrupted by taking them out of school, taking them away from their families.
So tell me, what happens? Let's go through. You have a really good thing on your website, I understand, called the DCLY Budget Brief, which is kind of a misnomer, but it's a overview of the DC juvenile justice system that I found, that you sent to me, and I thank you. But I found it really interesting because it maps out the processing of a child from the moment they are arrested. And it's scary, folks, I'll tell you that.
What happens?
Explain to us what happens, Daniel,
sure,
please.
Sure. And this is termed a budget brief because Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is a bit of it's an anomaly as far as jurisdictions go across the country because we are not a state.
Yeah.
So for any D.C. listeners out there, we want to be a state.
Yeah.
Tell your council members to get behind.
Support that, please. Yes.
Wait
a minute. We have to take a break. Why don't we go in and take a break, and then he can come back and explain the processing system, okay, because it's important. And then later we'll open the phone lines if you have questions.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is power.
This is Reality Radio.
The beginning of a new year is often met with excitement, hope, and joy. But for many, the dawn of 2017 isn't as bright. Whether it's politics, the economy, or issues in our community, country, and the world, some people are very skeptical about what the future holds and are looking back to fond memories of the past, rather than looking to the opportunities a new year always provides. The reality is every new year is a renewal. And while things may not always be ideal, we can still determine what type of year this will be. Nature teaches us by example. We can experience something new and beautiful in every new year and in every new season. So as 2017 rolls in, please plan to walk in love, live in peace, and work to make this the best year yet. I'm Kathy Hughes. What's your reality? This is Reality Radio with Kathy Hughes. What's your reality?
What's your reality?
What's your reality?
What's your reality?
What's your reality? What's your
reality?
She fought hard for her marriage. Now, she's fighting hard to keep it. And when your husband stops giving you the attention you need,
my mind's telling me no.
Temptation sets in. Witness the sequel to the sold-out show that took the country by storm. Jacarius Johnson presents. See Lisa Ray, Shanti Moore, Carl Payne, and the hilarious Bill Bellamy in Married But Single, Part 2, March 17th through 19th at the Warner Theater. Tickets available at Ticketmaster and the box office.
The negligence of another can cause injuries affecting the rest of your life. The insurance company will try to minimize your claim. You can be compensated for medical bills, lost wages, and permanent injury. The McDaniel Law Group is dedicated to getting compensation for their clients. If you, your child, or other loved ones have been injured due to the negligence of another, take us to court with you. Call the attorneys at the McDaniel Law Group at 202-331-0793. That's 202-331-0793. Brian K. McDaniel, Principal.
Have you been denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates because of a low credit score? Join the thousands of people who've relied on CreditRepair.com to help rebuild their credit score.
I went to get my first car. I had to get a used car, high interest, and so I knew that things were done from there.
For over 15 years, we've helped thousands with their search for solutions to credit issues. We communicate with you, your creditors, and the credit bureaus with a unique approach designed to remove items like late payments, collections, charge-offs, liens, bankruptcy, and foreclosures that are unfair or inaccurate.
And I've gone up 40 points already.
There are many services offering to tell you your credit score and even monitor it for you. But what good is just knowing your credit score when what you really need is to fix it? Credit Repair members see a significant improvement in their credit scores month after month. Call now to get your no-obligation credit consultation, including your free credit score and free summary credit report. Don't delay. Call 800-637-3854. That's 800-637-3854. 800-637-3854.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. And we're talking with the Executive Director of the D.C. Lawyers for Youth, which is a wonderful organization. Their website is dcly.org. And I encourage everyone to go there because they have some really important information. Just before the break, Daniel was getting ready to talk to us about how a child is processed through the system once they are arrested. And that would be true, Daniel, whether they're arrested in school or they're arrested on the street. Anyone who's under 18?
Correct.
Okay. What happens when a child is arrested?
Sure. So a number of things can happen. And I will say that, giving credit where credit is due, youth arrests have gone down dramatically in D.C.
That's good.
Since we started this work. And so when a young person is arrested, a couple things can happen. First off, the police department, MPD, can divert that young person right away. So
what do you mean by divert that young person?
Diversion means rather than processing them further through the system, fingerprinting them, giving them an actual arrest record, and then having them having to appear in court, they can be put into a program where they will get certain services. Sometimes it can be anger management. Sometimes it can be counseling. Sometimes it can be a prescription of community service. And if they successfully complete that within a period of time, usually 6 months or so, then that arrest is off their record.
Okay.
And so that is usually only available for certain offenses.
Such as?
Such as simple assault, can be possession of, now that marijuana is legal in Washington, D.C., it's no longer that, but it can be, shoplifting, fare evasion, some of your lower level offenses.
Stuff that children do that are just more foolishness than victimizing
stuff that
anybody.
I would admit to since the statute of limitations is passed.
Hello, really? You want to know a really funny story?
Sure.
This is true. When I was in college. I was at Fisk. And they had the demonstrations going on in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And they had lots of college students that were arrested. And I was among those who were arrested. But when they got to book me, they found out I was 16 years old. And so they had to put me and about four other college students in the juvenile detention home.
Mm-hmm.
And what was funny was we were in there with kids who had stolen bikes and stuff like that. And the organization, I hope somebody writes a book on the organization and civil rights movement. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They had lawyers and bondsmen and everybody set up to get us out of jail, like right that night. No student stayed in jail, okay? But they had not counted on there being juveniles,
right.
You know? So we spent the night there. And then they finally figured out, wait a minute, we're missing some kids. And they came and got us, you know? But, yep, so the statute of limitation is run on that one,
right,
too. Thank you very much. So I don't mind saying that, right? but anyway, is it the policeman that makes the decision on that diversion that you just talked
about?
At that point?
At that point, yes, it's the police. And they have a number of criteria that was set in concert between them and the Office of the Attorney General in D.C. If a young person isn't diverted, then they're held until their first appearance in D.C. Superior Court. And when they get to that appearance...
Where are they held?
They're held at the Youth Services Center, which is D.C.'s youth jail, which is on Mount Olivet Road.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And when they make their first appearance, it will be the next morning. If a young person is arrested on a Saturday night, unfortunately, you have to wait until Monday morning.
Okay.
But then they'll appear before a judge, and that judge will make a decision on whether to continue to hold them or to send them home. So that's their first appearance.
So a judge can decide to keep your child at the correctional center or to send them home.
Right. Right.
Are the parents usually notified and they're there during that first hearing?
So in between that period of arrest and holding and first appearance, a number of things happen. Parents or caregivers who can be found
are notified. Yeah.
And notified that there is a court appearance that is going to happen and where and when that is.
Do they know where the child is being kept? Are they told that?
I believe so.
Okay.
And then what happens is during that time period, a court social services, which is the supervisory arm of D.C. Superior Court will have a social worker who will interview that young person.
Okay.
And in that time, they'll learn a number of things of what are called social factors, child's age, engagement in school, you know, mm-hmm. what their family is like, and that social worker will also try and interview the parent. And out of this will come a report that they will present to the judge
at the first appearance. At the first appearance. So that's done all before the first appearance.
And what else happens before the first appearance is that the Office of the Attorney General will get the arrest paperwork and will decide whether or not to proceed with charges. So they decide to paper the case, which means they're filing charges, or to no paper the case, which means they don't have enough or they're not going to prosecute.
Is the Office of the Attorney General a D.C. office?
Yes, it is. So the Office of the Attorney General, which is now an elected position
for
the first time. It was 2 years ago, it was the first election for Attorney General.
Okay.
They are the agency that prosecutes youth crime. The U.S. Attorney, because D.C. is a quasi-federal entity, prosecutes adult crime.
Okay. So the D.C. Office of Attorney General prosecutes juvenile crime.
Right.
And that is where, if the policeman who arrests the child makes a decision to hold them, there's another decision that has to be made on whether to prosecute them.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
And that means to file charges
right.
Okay. Is there any interaction or any programmatic interaction between those two offices and the community where parents get to know them or know what they're doing? Or I mean, what's going on there? What happens there?
Yes, and I know that this Attorney General, Kyle Racine, has been a real leader in trying to treat young people in a way that doesn't over-prosecute them. So his office, since he came in, has been very proactive in going into the community and talking about their approach to juvenile justice.
Good.
You know, he made that a hallmark of his campaign. He also, has made a special counsel for juvenile justice position within his office.
Okay.
So they have been very big on the use of diversion, very big on only prosecuting those young people who, feel that, are accused of the most serious offenses.
So
petitions, what we call petitions, which are the paper process, have also dropped dramatically much that the youth calendar, the family division calendar, has gone from 4 judges down to 2.
Oh, that's a good thing.
So the
system is
shrinking, which is
good. Okay. We have a caller on the line. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I give admiration to your youth for organizing a law group. I am the national investigator for the Black Lawyers for Justice and the Minister of Justice for National Black Panther Groups and so forth. And I've set up several youth programs in the district. And
do you mind giving your name, sir?
This is Imam Akbar.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I ran the Absconders Unit for 7 years in the district. Matter of fact, we set a lot of pace. If your attorney knows a little bit about the concept of absconders or runaway groups in the district.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk a little bit or discuss or ask a question basically on the youth acts in the District of Columbia and the concept of 18. Most cities will validate an adult, and it may be a federal or local. He may have investigated it further than I have to find out if there's a current law and how that is managed in the District of Columbia as to 18. They were a previous, in my experience, they would hold a youth until 21, and most of the parts of the nation don't know that. And then just a little discussion on the concept of the school. Do you have the cheese bus in the district that the youth, if your honor roll student can't ride the yellow bus, and the mental health is spending, and that's a lot of them, it's the 40% of those killings that are coming in have been investigated and researched as mental health situations, interacting with the 17 to 18, and a discussion on the, is the 21 the limit to be turned out of the corrections system of the district?
Okay, excellent questions. Thank you for calling in. Daniel, can you respond to that, please?
Sure, let me do my best, and thank you for listening and being engaged and calling in this morning. So the district does have what's called extended jurisdiction. So an 18-year-old cannot be put into the juvenile justice system, but a young person can be committed to DYRS, which is the Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services, the district's juvenile justice agency, until the age of 21.
So say that again, because that's a little confusing.
Sure,
okay.
Sure. So if you are
18 or older,
you cannot be prosecuted in
the
juvenile justice system.
18 or older.
18 or older, you cannot be prosecuted in
the
juvenile justice system. But if you are in that system, you can be committed or adjudicated. The adult equivalent would be sentenced to the supervision of the juvenile justice agency until you're 21.
Okay, so if you are arrested for a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And you are between 18 and 21.
You're in the adult system.
You're in the adult system. Okay. So you go through the adult system, but your sentence or your commitment, whatever the judge decides, if you're found guilty, I assume, could include being committed to a juvenile center.
No, it's absolutely
okay. All right.
Correct. You're correct. But the sentence would be an adult sentence if you're 18.
Would be an adult sentence.
But if you're 18 or younger, the sentence could include commitment up to 21. You're not kicked out. So if you're 16 and you're adjudicated involved, you're found guilty, then you're committed for 5 years. You're committed to
you're 16.
21.
Okay.
From 16 to 21, you're not kicked out of the system at 18. You're still in the juvenile justice system under their supervision. You can be held in the YSC, the Youth Services Center, or New Beginnings, our more secure facility, over the age of 18. So we have 18-year-olds, we have 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds who are still supervised by the district's juvenile justice agency. So as a caller noted, yes, there is extended jurisdiction. And just to address the issue of mental health, I think this is one of the things that we've been working on and trying to bring to the attention of our city council members and the district agencies, is that so many of our young people have experienced trauma in their lives, and we need to deal with that rather than using through mental health avenues, rather than letting a criminal justice system treat our young
deal
people.
With it. Right. We'll come right back. We have to take a break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL. Where information is power.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Washington, D.C.? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Washington, D.C. area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Washington, D.C. is a perfect market for my system, and next week, I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-733-5900. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-733-5900. That's 1-800-733-5900.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
The live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited. Calling all line dancers from Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, represent. Show off your group or step. You can even bring your own music. You've seen the show on TV. Now be a part of it. Show your skills and just have fun. Proper attire required. No blue jeans, t-shirts, or athletic gear. Dress like grown folks and come on out. For more info, call 443-857-2771. That's 443-857-2771. It's the live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited.
This is Moon Man. Be sure to join us for Folsom of this and every month at the American Legion, located at 905 Sligo Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland. We're line dancing. We also have dance classes. For more information, 443-857-2771. We're hand dancing.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. And you know what, Daniel, before we go on, but I do want you to continue that discussion, give out the telephone number and the website for your organization, please.
Sure. For callers who are interested in more information about the work we're doing, you can go to our website at www.dcly.org. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at capital DC Lawyers, the number 4 Youth. And that is also where you can find us on Facebook.
Okay.
On our website, if you go there, you'll find a place to put in your email address, and you can sign up for our mailing list and get our periodic newsletters, updates about what's happening in the juvenile justice system in D.C., updates on legislation, and stay in touch with our organization that way.
Good. Okay. I want you to finish answering the caller's question, but then I do want to go into the legislative efforts that you're doing, too. I don't want to miss that part, too.
Absolutely. I'm happy. I'm glad. I don't want to miss this opportunity to get that out
there.
Right.
Tell people about it, yes.
But, yes, just to continue on what I was saying before the break, you know, a lot of what we talk about is having a system in D.C. that is trauma-informed, which means that it takes into account some of the challenges that our young people face in their daily life that have made it more likely that they'll come into contact with the juvenile justice system. And a trauma-informed system notes that and says, well, we're going to use things like counseling and other therapy to get young people back on track rather than a more punitive approach of removing them from their communities, removing them from their schools, and putting them into a youth jail or a residential treatment facility.
So let me break it down to what people will understand. I'm not getting this right. So if a child is in an abusive home, if a child has been abused, if a child is subject to all kinds of circumstances that would traumatize him or her, that's what you call a child that has suffered trauma, and so his or her behavior is going to be different. They're going to act out some kind of way.
Correct.
And to deal with that behavior, what you're trying to say is that rather than just throw them in jail and throw away the key, you know, or just be very punitive about it, you are trying to encourage the treatment of these children that takes into account all of those things and yet is effective as well, too.
That's right. And that's not to say that there can't be accountability in that system.
I was going to say, some people say you're just coddling them and letting them get away with everything. Yeah,
that's right. And I don't want to lose that, but you are correct. And I will say, to give credit where credit is due, the city has done a much better job of making sure that young people are getting services rather than jail. The population at our most secure facility, New Beginnings, has been way down
in
the past years. And I think that's due to this recognition that there are other ways to better get at public safety.
Right.
Because I think that's essentially what this is people look at this as a public safety issue.
Right.
And what we want to make sure is that we're not putting young people, sending young people away that are going to come back not ready to reintegrate into their lives, communities, families, schools.
Right.
And yes, and the acting out that you describe isn't is actually a part of development. Young people can be hardwired differently as a result of that trauma.
Yeah.
And they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need schools, we need a juvenile justice system, we need training for police that takes that into account. So when they see a young person who's hyperactive or hyper aggressive, that it's not taken as they're at fault. They're a bad kid.
Yeah. Right.
And that they may need to be removed from their immediate situation, but that the court system doesn't have the tools to deal with it unless we're doing it in a way that is trauma informed, that uses other methods besides incarceration.
Okay. Are there any efforts to train teachers? Because one of the problems I understand is that a lot of teachers don't know how to handle children. They're not part of the community, and they're not even trained how to handle or even to recognize. And I could be wrong. I don't mean to malign or badmouth teachers, because as far as I'm concerned, they got the hardest job in the world, and they get paid the least amount, you know, and yet they're the most important people in our community. And yet I keep hearing these stories like the stealing the candy, and then you write that they're a thief in their record, you know. Are there any efforts being made to educate the teachers?
Absolutely, and schools in D.C. have been a lot better about using alternative methods. Maybe some of your listeners may have heard the term restorative justice and bringing restorative justice principles into schools. And what that means is restorative justice allows the, you know, I'll just use the term victim and offender to come together and kind of work through what caused that conflict in the first place. And it's a way to deal with conflict resolution in-house without the use of arrest, suspension, or expulsion. And I know at high schools like Ballou High School in D.C., at Cardozo High School in D.C., there have been pilot programs and really some extraordinary gains in reducing the number of suspensions and expulsions because of training and use of restorative justice circles and principles. And I think, I do think it's a recognition that just removing young people from school is not the answer.
Right, right.
Because they have to go, they don't disappear.
They don't be around longer than us, you know? I often would love to see, I know we talk about there needs to be more black men in the schools. I would love to see a lot of veterans, you know, when they get out of the service, a lot of them retire and they're still relatively young. And I know when I used to belong to Rotary here, there was a person who retired from the State Department and became a school teacher. And he had been all over the world. So his teaching was informed by his own experiences. And it just opened the kids up to all kinds of things that they would not have known. And there are a ton of retired, especially black men, who come out of the services and they live here. I mean, is there some way there could be a, even if it isn't a full-time job, just having them, their presence around, I think would help a lot.
I don't know of any formal programs to do that. I do think what you're getting at speaks to a larger issue of mentorship and how do we help young people get to where they want to go. I don't think that you can talk to any child in the district in Maryland or Virginia or anywhere and say, you know, is there something that you want to do? And they wouldn't have an answer. They absolutely would. I think our young people are brilliant. They know what
they really
want.
They really see
the world for what it is. And I think I have a colleague who has said, you know, young people are going to find a mentor to get them through adolescence.
One way or the other.
They're going to find one. It can be a positive one. It can be a negative one.
Yeah.
And so I think it's incumbent on communities, on systems, on schools to make sure that those positive ones are around and accessible.
Yeah,
I think that is another way that we can, help young people get where they want to go, keep our communities strong, keep our communities safe, and really help young people, you know, progress into productive adulthood.
Where they want to go, yeah. I've had several programs with sister mentors. There's a program the Omegas have out in Prince George's County, Project Enrich. You know, I've had them on. And you can go to my website and find the shows where they are doing exactly that. They're mentoring. They take young boys. Project Enrich takes young boys. They meet once a month. they have to wear a shirt and a tie. If they don't have one, they'll buy it for them. They'll show them how to, you know, tie the tie. And then they talk to them about, what do you want to be when you grow up? How are you going to do that? And then they talk to them about their behavior. And then they kind of help them all the way from wherever they come in through college in some instances. Sister Mentors does the same thing.
That's fantastic.
So those are the kind of programs. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about your legislative efforts, Daniel, please. Tell us about those.
Sure. And so at DCLY...
And how we can help you.
Absolutely. So at DCLY, our work is kind of segmented into a few arenas. We do work on policy and advocacy, which means we work with DC City Council, with the administration, with the executive branch, the mayor, and the agencies to put in place policies that help young people. One of the most effective ways we've been able to do that is through legislative advocacy or working on getting certain laws passed that help young people. Mm-hmm. Over the last year, we just passed a extraordinary bill championed by Councilmember Kenyon McDuffie.
Oh, you got it passed?
It was passed.
Excellent.
In November. It's not law in D.C. because, again, the theme running through the show is that D.C. is called the... Yes, it was passed in November. It's not law in D.C. because, again, the theme running through the show is that D.C. is not a state, so Congress has to either vote yes or approve it through inaction. And it's now in its 60-day waiting period. And this legislation really is based on the notion that I've talked about, this public health approach to treating young people. And it does some things that take all that into account. It does away with mandatory minimums for young people.
Oh, that's
it,
good.
It will, by 2018, stop the incarceration, the jailing of young people under 18 in D.C.'s adult jail.
Oh, wow. You mean they put children into adult jails?
Yes. 15, 16, and 17-year-olds can be held in D.C.'s adult jail.
Oh, that is dangerous.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely dangerous. That's scary. Oh, my God. We have to take one more break, and then we'll be right back, okay? We want to keep talking about that.
You're listening to the most powerful voice in talk radio, 1450 WOL, where information is...
This is Barbara Arnwine. Be sure to tune in to Igniting Change every Tuesday from noon to 1 on WOL 1450 AM. I will provide provocative and empowering information to ignite change and inspire action in achieving racial justice and equality. It really is up to all of us to be and to ignite the change that we so desperately want to see in our neighborhoods, communities, our cities, our states, our nation, and the world. Each week, I want you to join me and my special guests to learn how your activism matters in realizing a more just and equal society for all. Ignite change with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. Together, we can make a difference. Visit BarbaraArnwine.com for more information. Stand up
for... The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important that you act while you still have options. Optima is A+ rated with the Better Business Bureau and offers a one-of-a-kind guarantee. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now. 800-213-0050. That's 800-213-0050. By calling Adam Recovery, you're in safe hands with access to the best treatment centers across the country. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let Aidem Recovery help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there will be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There is no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Make the one call count. Call Aidem Recovery at 800-213-0050. That's 800-213-0050. 800-213-0050.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. And let me just put one plug in. You can go to lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com and put your name and email in, and you will then get the weekly MailChimps that we send out so that you can continue to know who we're bringing up. My producer, Kiana Faircloth, updates that every week and with the names and the subject matters and so forth like that. And we just send out that one email once a week. So please do subscribe and have your friends to subscribe. It's perfectly free, and it's just a way of me getting the word out as to what we're going to be talking about and who our guests are going to be. This is our last. It goes so fast. It really does. But we have... please do. Please do. We're talking about D.C. Lawyers for Youth, that really good organization that does a lot of great work on behalf of our juveniles. And Daniel, we're just talking about the new act that was just signed, you said, during the break, December 8th by the mayor. What does it provide? And just briefly give us an overview of how you think it's going to impact children and in the juvenile justice system.
Sure. The legislation is called the Comprehensive Youth Justice Amendment Act, and it does a number of things that take into account that young people are developmentally different than adults. One of the key components of this is it does away with solitary confinement for young people.
They had children in solitary confinement?
Yes. And that practice is known to be, you know, some would call it barbaric, but it's certainly for young people whose minds are developing extremely harmful and has very real detrimental effects as young
that
people grow
awful.
Older. It does away with housing young people pre-trial, pre-18 in D.C.'s adult jail, which,
God,
again, the,
so
you
dangerous.
Know, one of the things that issues that we believe in is that young people should not be in adult jails. That young people, they should be held in developmentally appropriate facilities. So if they are going to be held, they should be held in places where staff are trained to deal with how young people act and react, rather than adult systems, which are, for the most part, mostly just correctional institutions.
Right, and they're not subject to being assaulted.
And yes, and to the D.C. jail where young people are held has all the young people in a separate unit. By federal law, need to be separated by sight and by sound from adults.
That's good.
But that facility has still been deemed by an outside consulting agency to be physically inadequate for the needs of that young population.
Wow.
And so this bill recognizes that.
Okay.
excuse me. It also allows for the periodic review of young people who are sentenced in D.C. to extremely long sentences. Okay. So in the last couple of years, the Supreme Court has really recognized that, recognized and taken into account adolescent brain development in their decisions on sentencing young people to life without parole, sentencing young people to receive the death penalty. And so along those lines, this law takes into account that young people are sentenced to 30, 40, 50 years at 16, at 17, are not the same person that they were then. And then they should have mandated review of their sentences.
So really, that's this good.
It is a comprehensive piece of legislation, and it's at its foundation is this notion that young people are different than adults, and we need to take different approaches. And some of the things that we thought worked in the criminal justice system just don't.
They
work.
Just don't. They just don't. And we need to recognize that they got so much energy. You know what I mean? Like I'm astonished that we took physical education out of schools. That is just dumb as far as I am concerned, because children have, of all ages, but particularly teenagers, they have so much physical energy. And to try and force them to just sit still all day long and behave is... it's just counterproductive.
Right, right. And children learn differently. Some children need to move around when they learn. Some can sit there and be talked at. And I think that giving kids outlets for recognizing that we all learn differently is important too. But again, that is this theme of young people are different.
Different.
We can't treat them like mini adults.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think what happens is we see, particularly in the juvenile justice context, we see a charge, or we see an accusation, or even a conviction, and we ascribe adult characteristics to the young person
who did that.
And that's not fair. It's not developmentally appropriate, and can lead to treating them differently than they need to be treated.
Right. Well, I really thank you for coming, because you've given us so much really good information. Are there any last thoughts that you want to leave with? Oh, the bill has been passed, so I was going to say, do we need to help push this bill? But it's done.
No.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with my audience? That
Yes, absolutely. For those people who are listening and like our work, I would not be an executive director of a nonprofit organization if I didn't say, go to dcly.org/donate.
Yes, we need some money, as always, yes.
Because we like this work and want to keep doing
it.
I mentioned our contact information, dcly.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Please follow us. But more along the lines of the substantive work, if you are listening and you're interested in what I've said, or if you agree with what I say, contact your D.C. council member, your at-large council member, contact your neighborhood commission when these issues come up, because they want to be responsive to their constituents. And it's important for those people who believe that young people are different, believe that young people should be treated instead of incarcerated, that your elected officials know that there are people out there that believe that as well, besides just us advocates. I can be contacted. My email address is dokonkwo@dcly.org if you have questions on how to do that. And I am happy to answer those for you.
Thank you. And I want to say, because this goes out throughout the country and actually throughout the world, we've gotten calls from Germany, from England, from Texas, from all over. So even though we have been talking about D.C., there are children everywhere, okay? And we need to do the same kind of work in whatever state, county, province, wherever you are. Go to the website, look up what this really fine organization is doing, and then see if you can adapt some of these ideas to be used in your state or your city or your county, wherever it might be. Because if you're in the United States, at least, your councilmen, your county, your organizations, your even those who hire your police are ultimately responsible to the electorate. And you can write letters, you can email them, you can encourage them to look at this organization, and I'm sure you would probably be willing to, you know, help talk with other people from other states to follow their lead, because it sounds like they're doing something that's good for our children.
Absolutely, and there are networks of youth justice advocates across the country in various states, and if someone is listening from outside of the Metro D.C. area, I'm happy to talk to you and connect you with local resources in your area.
That would be great.
Maybe not in England, but
yeah, we need to break the pipeline.
Actually, that's not true. I know someone in England. So
okay,
you're in England listening.
But I know you all have heard about the pipeline from the schools to the prisons. We need to break that pipeline. We really do.
Absolutely.
And this is a way to do it. This has been Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Thank you for listening. Go to the website to hear the program and to learn more about links to the program, to the organization. And listen in next week. We'll have another excellent program for you. Have a good week.
WOL Washington. W240DJ Washington 95.9. WPRS HD2 Waldorf. WKYS HD2 Washington. WMMJ HD2 Bethesda. And worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
It's funny, and I've done...
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds.